Judy. Certainly good to have everybody out tonight. Make sure our new recording device is recording. The title of the lesson tonight is How to Be Blessed. You know, if you want to know how to be blessed, James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25, you know, why do you go to worship? Why do you serve the Lord? Well, you want to be blessed. That's why. You know, you want to be benefited by a relationship with God. And how does that come about? Number one, in James chapter 1, verse 19 through 21, we need to achieve the righteousness of God. There's a certain level of righteousness we need to achieve. And number one, anger will not do it. James chapter 1, verse 19. This you know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. You know, they know this. We know a lot of things that if we'd practice them, we'd be better off. Lots of times we want to hear what we want to hear. And someone says something, we're not listening. We should have been quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to anger, but what? Oh, we get all upset. And you didn't hear me. You didn't understand what I said. You know, we do that. And so if you're going to achieve the righteousness of God, you have to listen. Even when you don't want to listen, you have to listen. Wife says, you're not listening to me. You know, as you get older, you know, you get forgetful, you know. And Ellen used to get on me for not listening. And now it's reversed. I'll tell her something and, oh, I didn't know that. It's an interesting bond as you get older there, you know. But learning to be quick to hear, slow to speak, just wait, think, what do they mean? And especially slow to anger, verse 20. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I mean, be angry yet not sin. Don't let the sun go down your anger. Ephesians chapter 4. You got to get control of yourself when you get angry. Because you're going to say something most likely. Most Christians aren't going to hit somebody. But you could end up doing that too. You know, or you get angry at the boss and you just quit your job. And there are no jobs out there to be had. And oh my. And the Lord's not thrilled with you either for what you said. So learn to get a little control and to listen and think things out first is important to achieving the righteousness of God. Verse 21, the second thing in achieving the righteousness of God is you've got to put away all filth. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted which is able to save your souls. You know, you can't be fooling around with evil and filth and wickedness. You can't be dilly-dallying with a little bit of it and it not affect you. I was reading the Christian Chronicle there tonight, and it's talking about churches in Ecuador, way up in the mountains, you know. And the guy says they don't sell tobacco and alcohol products here because they don't have a market for them, the church. You know, all those Incas, they realize you got to get rid of vices in your life. And they got rid of them in such a degree that the store owners got to quit selling alcohol and cigarettes because there's so many Christians there up in that mountain. But that's putting away filth and wickedness. If you're going to make progress, if you're going to please God, if you're going to achieve the righteousness of God, you got to deal with wickedness and evil in your life. You got to put it off and we're through with it. We're moving a different direction. And the third thing, achieving the righteousness of God, is in humility, receive the word implanted. You got to humble yourself to accept the word of God. And we live in a time of arrogance. People don't have no use for God, His word. I mean, if you humble yourselves, God is big. Well, we went through the Revelation class this morning. God got a little bigger in this lifetime, you know. Well, you've got to become smaller to accept God's ways better than your way. But in humility, if you can receive His word, let it direct you, it will save your soul. I mean, we do a lot of things to protect ourselves from pain. from experiencing pain in this life. We just don't usually go out and encourage it. Well, you get to Hades because you didn't put away wickedness and all that. Your soul's going to experience all the pain that you can possibly endure at that level. But if you, in this life, could only receive the word, you won't have to worry about Hades. In point number two, verse 22 through 24, you and I have to prove ourselves doers of the word. I mean, I remember back in the 70s, you know, I was a new Christian, and they had a crossroads movements going way back there in the Boston movement and the International Church of Christ. And this guy was, I'm a new Christian, and he's telling me about how great this is and how great that is. And I knew he didn't know nothing, and I didn't know nothing, but I knew he didn't know anything. And he, oh, this is so wonderful. You got to be doers. Talkers doesn't achieve the rights of God. It doesn't benefit you toward God. Verse 22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. I mean, to be a Christian, really not have no interest in the word of God and not do anything with it. And you're going to be saved. We can delude ourselves, self-delusion. We can trick our own selves that we're okay when we don't have no use for the Word of God, which means we don't have any use for God, you know. And by the way, when we pray, we don't have no use for His answer. No, that's not what we do. Oh, we want His answer, but we probably don't get an answer. But prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Verse 23, for anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer. He's like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. And once he's looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. I mean, the person is just a hearer. You know, they walk up to the mirror and, well, everything looks all okay, and they're gone. On the bigger and better things. You know, it's just a glimpse, a glance. And you know, the purpose of a mirror is that you see what's wrong. Nobody, a lot of people, you know, I suppose many people go around and say, look how pretty I am, you know. I mean, why do you look in a mirror? You know, you're going to fix what's wrong. Well, the person that's not a doer, he looks and he goes on. And he immediately forgets. I mean, oh, went to church today. Oh, we have Bible class. Oh, yeah. What was it about? Who knows? It didn't have any effect. God couldn't lead them to where He wants them to be. And so they just momentarily look in the Word of God, and that's it. But you know, verse 25, the purpose of the perfect law of liberty? But one who looks intently at the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. That's open-ended at the end. I mean, there's some big verses, and the God of peace shall be with you if you do these things, Ephesians 4, verse 9. That's all you got to do. I mean, if you look intently at the perfect law, and you got a better plan than God and Jesus, when you and I look at the New Testament, we're looking at perfection. If you want to live your life in such a way that you're guaranteed to enter into heaven, you look intently at the perfect law. I mean, if you're looking intently, you're looking to get something out of it, something that's going to remain with you. You're not going to forget it because it ends up in you being blessed. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. The perfect law of liberty. The Old Testament system, you know, and just hold your place and look at Hebrews chapter 2 for a second. The Old Testament system wasn't perfect. Jeremiah's day, we said we're going to replace it because, you know, it was old and worn out and couldn't save anybody. And Hebrews chapter 2 verse 2 referred to the Old Testament. In verse 1, for this reason we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. Talking about the law of liberty. I mean, it comes in preaching form, and it's so easy to drift if you don't pay attention. Same thing James saying, just a little different twist. But he's talking to Jewish Christians. For if the word spoken through angels, the law of Moses, proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense. Boy, the law of Moses wasn't the law of liberty. You violate it, and you're going to get just recompense, eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth every time. There's no mercy in this law. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? There's a difference between the two covenants. That the law of liberty starts out with you being blessed. And if you don't look intently at it and don't heed it, how are you going to escape? I mean, judgment's going to chase you down because you've been blessed greater than anybody. Look at James chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. So you don't look intently at the Word of God. You don't pay attention. And you don't realize that as Christians, you're held to a higher standard. Now, you need to act. You need to speak like you're under the law of liberty. That's the expectation of God for Christians. Why? Verse 14. For judgment will be merciless to one who's shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The people under the law of liberty have been shown mercy. If you're being baptized for remission of sins, if you're having to repent before your baptism, you need mercy because you're guilty and you're the first witness against yourself. And so now that you're a Christian, verse 13, for judgment will be merciless to one who's shown no mercy. To have received the mercy of God, the forgiveness, and to treat other people harshly. Heaven help your soul on the day of judgment. Because there's not going to be any mercy. You can't take selfishly the benefits of God and then refuse to let that work in your life. If you've escaped the judgment of God, the wrath of God, 1 Corinthians 6, in judgment, we're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world. We're not on that side of the bar unless we show no mercy. Then we can find ourselves over there. For judgment will be merciless to one who's shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And what he's saying is you need to be compassionate to people, even when they don't deserve it. Jesus hanging on the cross, there is nobody deserving mercy here this day. But what did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. His disbelief shall be condemned. I mean, is anybody listening to the Word of God here as those guys go out and preach? Offering salvation. Anybody humble herself? Anybody be able to receive this? You get salvation, you escape condemnation? Well, look at the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 31-32. The Christian is so blessed. And Jesus is talking about it beforehand, and he's talking to Jews who want to argue about eternal life. And he's trying to usher in this law of liberty. In John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, there's different levels of belief in John, and these people in different are low level, they're slaves to sin even. Just because they're disciples don't mean a whole lot. Verse 31, Jesus therefore was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. There's a consistency relationship to his word. I mean, if they're going to move forward, they've got to abide in his word. He's the only one who knows how to get to God at that point. And so they've got to fall in line with the word in order to make progress. You know, notice verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They're not free. Only if they follow his word will they find freedom under the law of liberty. Freedom from sin, freedom from guilt. I mean, well, look at Romans chapter 7 then. You know, Paul lived under the law of Moses, and he was a sincere fellow, totally misdirected. And He tried to do right, but he couldn't do it. And he felt more guilty because he was sincere. He wanted to do right and he couldn't do it. He's trapped. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? He's dead spiritually. He can't do the will of God. He wants to do it. And he's wretched. He's dead spiritually. He's miserable. And he can't help it. He can't save himself. The law can't save him. What do you do when you're desperate? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He found an answer in Jesus. Jesus supplied freedom from sin and death. Well, that's what he said in John 8. Well, chapter 8, verse 1, what does it mean to be under the law of liberty? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Yeah, Christians can make it. There's no condemnation. As long as you stay in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. I mean, you stand in the grace of God, so if you do sin, what? You can be honest and find forgiveness, 1 John 1:9. You notice verse 2, there is a condition here. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. In Christ Jesus, there's a more powerful spirit at work than the devil. And it's called the Spirit of life. And that's who set him free. And so you're going to follow the Spirit now, or are you going to go back to your old ways? You know, you're free. And as long as you stay in Christ Jesus, as long as you walk with the Spirit, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. They can't lose it. I mean, the law of liberty provides great blessings up front. But you got to look intently at the Word, or you won't know where to walk, how to walk. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. Paul started all those churches in Galatia. And, you know, false teachers come in and said, you got to keep the law. You're not saved unless you keep the law, unless you circumcise. I mean, is that right? Or are they saved? Are they free? Are they under this law of liberty? Well, you better speak and act as if you, because you're going to be judged by it. Well, chapter 2, verse 4. But it was because of the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty. We're not under a bunch of do's and don'ts where if you foul up one time, you're going to get beat bad. We're under grace. And these false brethren are here for one reason, to pervert the way of salvation. They're in here spying out our liberty. Why? We're different from that Old Testament bunch. We're different because Jesus died for our sins. And we want to maintain a relationship with Jesus. And if we have a relationship with Jesus, we don't need anything else. We have to be faithful to Jesus. Verse 4, but it was because of the false brethren who had sneaked in to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, in order to bring us into bondage. If you don't have it, you can't be brought into bondage. You're in bondage. But in Christ Jesus, if you're free, the devil will use any means to bring you back into bondage. It don't matter whether it's sin or whether it's false teaching. And this is a matter of salvation. Verse 5, but we did not yield in subjection to them for even an hour, so that the truth of the gospel might remain with you. Paul said, we stood up. We didn't let that go by for 1 hour. I mean, if they're saying you're not saved because of the work of Jesus, that there's something else needed, we're not, whoa, it's over. You ain't changing the rules about how somebody's saved without us standing up right here, right now. And Paul stood up, because he wanted the truth of the gospel to remain with them. The word gospel is good news. That Jesus died for your sins according to Old Testament scripture. And was buried and raised according to that same scripture. I mean, that's good news. So there's nothing else required. Now, James has a problem. There's a lot of people, they walk up to the mirror of the Word of God, and the Word of God is so that you can see yourself
and make adjustments before it's too late. That's His purpose. So you end up blessed. And whatever you do, that's God's goal. But some people are surface. And they don't see this is going somewhere, or they don't see God's at work in the world, in this world now. But the people that look intently at the Word of God, they know it. I mentioned this morning in class several times, here's a word that says God's in control. You angels who are ready to harm the earth, whoa, 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 hold it. We've got to do something first. We've got to mark our people. I mean, in just a few chapters I run through, whoa, whoa. Joel's about this earth and about Judah getting it. And it's about Acts chapter 2 and Israel getting it in the first century. And it's about nations getting it. And it's some obscure verse, book in the Old Testament. The Word of God. This is how I think. Here's how I feel about this. What do you guys think about the locust plague? Are you losing everything? How much more you got to lose? You think you ought to repent? What do you think? And by the way, the Lord's coming and He's mad. Oh, this isn't all He can do to us? If you're under the law of liberty, you know you're free. You know that you have power to overcome. You're not wretched and miserable. Now, you got to put away things so you can make progress. If you're holding on to evil things, what? It's going to get you sooner or later. And you're going to want it more than you want the Lord. How to be blessed? You got to watch your tongue. You got to watch and let your anger get away with you. You know, you got to be doers of the Word. In that Word is some wonderful things. Oh, you want to be blessed in what you do? You want the peace of God to be with you? Well, there's verses that says here's how it happens. And the only person that really can cause you to lose everything is you. But only your faith, your sincerity will get you to look intently at the law of liberty. And you look at the law of liberty and you see a lot of eternal prospects. And you see help now. And you begin to expect that the Lord's going to work with you. And He does. If you need to respond anyway, won't you come as we stand in sync?